This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Now on Sunday, Thailand had a general election and the Elections Commission has declared the progressive party called Move Forward the biggest winner. So finally, it looks like Thailand might be on the verge of some change, or maybe not. Will the military elite let the opposition take power? Well, Greg Raymond is from the Australian National University, has been writing about this and watching the elections closely. Greg, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Greg, before we get into the election result and what happens now, why is democracy in Thailand so fragile?
Oh, what a great question. And if we had an hour, we could talk about that. Really been a difficult transition from, I guess, what was a monarchy, an absolute monarchy in 1932. That was, overthrown and it became a constitutional monarchy. But ever since that time, I guess that there's people who support a very big role for the monarchy and in particular military, have seen it in their interest to try to, I guess, place curbs on democratically elected governments in various ways, such that since 1932, Thailand has spent 7 years out of every 10 under some form of military rule. So it's been very frustrating over time for, you know, a population that is truly ready to have an accountable, transparent government.
What did the Move Forward party campaign on?
Look, two of their strongest policies were, one, to end military conscription, national service, and reform the military. And the second was actually to reform a particularly draconian and somewhat antiquated law, that is the lese majeste rule, which is law which enables anyone who's said to have said something critical about the monarchy to be charged and potentially spend time in prison. And that law's sort of applied widely, used to attack political opponents and at relatively little infringement. Pressing like on the wrong Facebook post can land you a lawsuit, and 15-year-olds have ended up in jail with that exact situation.
And I know King Rama the Ninth, I think, was very popular. Do you think the death of that king allowed for a climate where a political party could campaign against the monarchy?
I think yes, I think that's true. I think, you know, since the royal transition, there's an incumbent who doesn't have that same respect or affection from the Thai people. There's also a younger generation that's just grown up without having that kind of very direct personal sense of a monarch who cared about them. So they look at the current monarch and they don't particularly feel, you know, any great sense of loyalty or affection. But the younger generations, who are some of the sort of primary parts of the population that really want Move Forward, they're quite modern people in their outlook. You know, they want to see a modern Thailand. They want to see a Thailand that offers economic opportunity for them when they finish their education. And they don't want to be what they would describe as being a kind of backward, feudal, medieval country.
What's behind the decline then in the support for Thailand's military-aligned government? Are they just sick of it?
I think they've had, let's see, since 2014, they've had almost 9 years under General Prayut. He's, in making the jump to being a prime minister, he really kept his sort of command and control style. That is, he's very aggressive and short with the media. He's kind of like a kindly but grumpy uncle. And I think people are sort of sick of that leadership. Mm. Apart from that, they haven't been great economic managers. I mean, they got Thailand through the pandemic. They would probably get a pass, but they made some mistakes. And, the stigma of him having taken power through a coup never leaves. So, yeah, people would like to have a leader who's competent, who's transparent, who's accountable, like the new Bangkok governor. In some ways, I think Pittar Limjaroenrat, the leader of the Move Forward party, he's very much like this Bangkok governor in that he's well-educated, he has a strong business background, He looks like he'll be a good administrator, which the current guy, he doesn't really have a great reputation as an economic manager or even, you know, a leader of the country whose motto was let's return happiness to the Thai people. Well, it hasn't really happened.
Not with a grumpy uncle, that's for sure. No. We're chatting with Greg Raymond from the Australian National University about Thailand being on the verge of, potentially on the verge of a new democratic spring. Greg, so this is something that I don't understand, and I'd like you to explain it to us. Why can't the winner of an election in Thailand, in this case the Move Forward Party, why can't they simply form government in Thailand?
Yeah, we have to go back to 2016, actually. This is Thailand's under the rule of the military dictatorship. They devise a new constitution. What did that constitution look like? It looked like something that's designed to keep democratic forces, parties that the monarchy and military don't like, out of power. And it's designed so that it's not only the will of the people that decides who will become government. Technically speaking, we have to have a joint sitting of the parliament, which will involve not only the 500 people who just came out of the current election, but 250 people who were never elected, but who were appointed by the previous military dictatorship. So that makes it difficult. Mm. They'll need to have that joint sitting. And even though Move Forward and their coalition might have, say, 320 seats in the 500-seat lower house, they need to get to half of 750, which is a bit difficult. And that means that they have to have some of those senators actually support them. And that, at the moment, is what everybody's looking at. Will this Senate actually sort of say, well, this is what the people wanted, we should accommodate that? Or will they say, well, we're here to serve the monarchy and this party wants to reform, you know, a law concerning the monarchy, so we won't vote for them? And, you know, that's the kind of very tense situation we're in at the moment.
We've seen, protests in the past with the different coloured shirt campaigns in Thailand. If the military remains in power, and we've had this, I suppose, democratic outcome of the election with the the Progressive Move Forward Party winning that election, how do you think the Thai people will react?
I think there'll be a strong reaction. I mean, people have said this will be breaking the hearts of the Thai people. But look, there's a long history of people coming out in protest on the streets, and those protests either being ignored, at sometimes the military actually being prepared to use violence. Mm. What we've seen most recently is the military's been good at kind of staring down these protests. They're limiting their use of violence. They're using non-lethal means like tear gas and water cannon. That's what they did with the 2020 protests. And then they, I guess, look for the protest leaders, detain them. And over time, they are able to suppress that big series of protests which came up in 2020 after the previous version of Move Forward was dissolved by a court action. So I wonder whether or not, you know, the conservative side will be thinking, well, if there's a big reaction, we'll just wait it out, because that's what they've done in the recent past.
When are we likely to see a final result, Greg?
The electoral laws say that they have to have an official result. So apparently we don't have an official result yet until 2 months after the polling day. So that takes us up to almost mid July. So hopefully they'll get it done before that. There are a few protests being made about some various seat counts and so forth. But that's going to be an agonizing wait. But I think it probably works. Well, it's difficult to say whose advantage it works for. You know, the military and conservative side are no doubt trying to stitch up deals that might enable them to come into power. They're trying to build their own coalition, but it so far doesn't look like they'll be able to do that. So we're in a very tense waiting period.
Before we let you go, you know, we've seen in Myanmar, we've had a coup happen there in 2021. Things in Cambodia aren't looking good, being autocratic as well. Could the result in Thailand have a bit of a ripple effect throughout Southeast Asia and perhaps see changes in other countries as well?
I guess I would turn it around and say, if the Move Forward government came into power Would we get a ripple effect? I think absolutely. Thailand's the second biggest economy in mainland Southeast Asia. It's second biggest economy in Southeast Asia overall, and a very big country in mainland Southeast Asia. I think it could potentially become quite an important advocate of democracy and human rights. If we get the military coming back, then it's more like a consolidation of what we've seen over the last decade or so, and that is those countries, Cambodia, Myanmar, Laos, Vietnam, they're all autocratic, and Thailand essentially starting to work with them. We've seen, disturbing incidents of dissidents in either country being returned or being arrested on foreign soil and then returned. So, you know, a Cambodian activist arrested in Thailand or a Thai activist arrested in Cambodia and sent back or disappeared, even worse. So there seems to be evidence that these authoritarian regimes are actually colluding together. The Burmese and Thai militaries have become quite close in recent years. So we hope that that trend won't continue, but I must admit I have grave concerns.
We'll be keeping an eye on it closely. Greg, great conversation. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Drive today.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That is Greg Raymond from the Australian National University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.